Hardball politics and hardball business collide with Obamacare right in the middle.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Angie's List, now offering everyone access to ratings, reviews, and home improvement tips. Angie'sList.com. Angie's List. Home is where our heart is. And by Battelle, advancing the boundaries of technology to eradicate infectious diseases around the world. Because at Battelle, it can be done. Battelle.org/health.
From Marketplace in New York, I'm Mark Garrison, in for David Brancaccio. There are intriguing new revelations in a story that connects Obamacare to a high-stakes merger deal in the insurance world. Earlier in the week, Aetna said it's pulling back from the health insurance exchanges set up by the Affordable Care Act. Now we're learning that Aetna, which wants to buy rival insurance company Humana, wrote to the Justice Department beforehand threatening to pull out of Obamacare if the government challenged the merger, which is what happened. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins us live from Washington. Nancy, explain why Aetna wrote this letter.
Hey, Mark. Well, Aetna wrote the letter last month after the Justice Department wrote asking what would happen if the DOJ tried to block that merger with Humana. Aetna wrote back saying it would pull back from the health insurance exchanges if the merger were blocked. The Justice Department did sue to stop that merger, and on Monday, Aetna said it would stop selling health insurance on the exchanges in about two-thirds of the counties it now serves. Keep in mind, the letter also said it's likely that Aetna would, quote, need to leave the public exchange business entirely if the deal with Humana were blocked.
So we have people questioning whether they're getting their health insurance. We have a merger hanging in the balance. And there's also political fallout. What's going on there?
Yeah, on the left, Bernie Sanders says we're relying too much on, quote, the whims of large private insurance companies. Sanders is pressuring Hillary Clinton to come out more forcefully in support of a broader public option. And at a rally earlier this week, Donald Trump called Obamacare a disaster. Aetna says Obamacare isn't working for it financially. I talked to a professor of health finance about this, and he said, yes, Aetna is being blunt, but it has lost a lot of money on the exchanges with total pre-tax losses of more than $430 million since 2014.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thanks, and let's do the numbers. Stocks are up on Wall Street, but not much. The S&P 500 up a tenth percent at 2184. The Dow up nearly one-tenth percent at 18,584. And the NASDAQ up two-tenths percent at 5240.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Sony Pictures Classics, presenting Equity, a new financial thriller starring Anna Gunn as an investment banker fighting to rise to the top of the ladder when all her loyalties are suspect. Now playing. How the Deck is Stacked election coverage on Marketplace is produced in partnership with Frontline and PBS NewsHour and funded by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Europe faces major challenges right now. The UK is leaving the European Union. Banks in Italy are struggling, and unemployment raging in Greece, Spain, and Portugal. Nobel Prize-winning economist Joseph Stiglitz is worried. The title of his new book says it all. Stiglitz's book is called The Euro, How a Common Currency Threatens the Future of Europe. He thinks the single currency may have to go unless pretty big changes are made. David Brancaccio talked to Stiglitz about where he thinks all the trouble with Europe's economy got started.
Tell me about the underlying, confounding, drive-a-person-crazy mistake that you think is wrecking the economy in Europe.
The single mistake they made was the creation of the euro, the single currency, without creating at the same time the institutions, the frameworks that would make it work.
So they're missing the political side of this even now in 2016.
That's right. The United States has 50 states, quite different. And we manage with a single currency, but we have lots of institutions. For instance, we have a national banking system, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. When a bank goes bankrupt, it's not the state like Washington that had to bail out Washington Mutual. It was all of us, the nation as a whole.
The FDIC pays the same amount if a bank fails in Nevada as it does in California, but that is not really the way the system works in Europe.
In Europe, the countries are expected to bail out their own banks. So there are lots of problems in the Greek banks, lots of problems in Spanish banks, and they each have to bail out their own banks. And there's a vicious circle here. When the bank goes bankrupt, the government has to pay. That weakens the government. That means nobody has confidence in the government and the ability of the government to bail out the banks. That means money runs out of the country, weakening the not only the banking system, but the country as a whole.
And we need to remind our listeners of an essential point about a common currency. It takes away the ability of an individual country to suddenly lower interest rates in the face of a crisis. Greece couldn't do that on its own because it had that euro.
Moreover, it couldn't lower its exchange rate. And lowering its exchange rate and interest rates together help stimulate the economy. So the result of this is Greece is in depression. In fact, the crisis countries in Europe, Greece, Spain, Portugal, have had a downturn greater than the Great Depression. The decline in GDP in Greece is more than 25%. The unemployment rate is more than 25%. And the youth unemployment rate is more than 60%.
Now, the book is focused clearly on Europe, but there are lessons implicit for the U.S. and beyond about economic policies that leave big parts of the population behind. And you must see echoes of some of your work and thinking about Europe playing out in the U.S. presidential election.
Oh, very much so. That what happened in Brexit was a large group of people said our economic system, globalization, was not working for them. And the same thing is true in the United States. In fact, the number that I like to quote that sort of summarizes what's happened is that the median income, that is an income half above and half below, of a full-time male worker in the United States is lower than it was 42 years ago. There are many forces. Technology, changes in technology also play an important role.
Yes, robots ate my job principle.
They can't do anything about that, but they can do something, or at least they feel they can do something about globalization. It was a problem, though, not with globalization, but how it was managed.
That's Nobel laureate economist Joseph Stiglitz in conversation with David Brancaccio. You can hear more, including Stiglitz on U.S. trade deals and what he thinks needs to change, over at marketplace.org. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.